Greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. And before we open God's word, let us bow our hearts before you in a prayer. Merciful, loving Heavenly Father, how fortunate we are to have a God like unto thee, the one who we can turn to, the one we know will not leave us or forsake us, the one we can always rely on and your promises. We are so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come before thee this morning hour on this Lord's Day, that we could read from thy word, that we could meditate, that we could listen to what Holy Spirit has in store for us. We know, Lord, Heavenly Father, that we need thee every hour. We need thee every moment of our lives. And without thee, we are ready to fall. We pray that thou wouldst be the one who will speak this morning to thy servant and to all of us, Lord, that we would focus on thy word, that we would strive to live our lives according to thy holy word, that we would set aside all those things that are against thee, that we would run away and turn our backs to, and that we would be able to live renewed life, each and every one of us. We pray, be with us, keep us in thy care and keeping. Pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, this morning hour, I have a desire to read from the Old Testament, First Kings, chapter 16. I'd like to start on verse 29, read through the end, through the end of the chapter, and then chapter number 17, first 16 verses. Start with 1 Kings 16, verse 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord about all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more provoke to the Lord of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his day did Hiel and Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, therefore, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the crook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there has been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And he said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. This is how much I had desired to read this.
There one says, I was led by the Spirit to read this chapter, chapter number 17. I had to read what was the Ahab's fault over here, that where the Lord sent Elijah to tell him that this terrible times, years of no rain on the land, will come because of the things he did. And as we read, that Ahab was a king, was son of Omri. And very interesting thing is when in the previous few verses before this, when it talks about Omri was also so evil that there has been no evil king as he was before him. And here we read in a 30th verse about Ahab, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord about all that were before him. So we see the evil progressing from family to family, from generation to generation, from father to son. And it just reminded me, dear ones, of what a difficult time that must have been for Elijah, for all those that live in those times, and what a What a blasphemy of Ahab, the son of Omri, was that he actually built an altar and he ended up marrying Jezebel, who was very, very wicked queen. And it very much reminded me of the reliance that they had to have on God, reliance they had to have on Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. And it also very much reminded me of maybe times we have today on our hands, where no matter how much we want to tune out, whether we're trying or not to be involved or not to hear, it's impossible to not hear the noise around us, not hear what's going on in today's world. To what level did evil progressed? And reminded me, dear ones, of the times we live in, the times that we maybe try to get involved in a decisions that are made because we do have sides, two sides that we listen to, and each side is claiming that has planned for us for a better life, and that might be so. But how much are we willing, dear ones, to be involved in the things of this world? How much do we think we can make difference? How much is actually our job to stick to listening to the Lord and to do His will and worry about our spiritual status, not our physical status, whether we're going to be spiritually wealthy or not physically? And as Apostle Paul in Colossians is telling us in chapter number 3, first few verses saying, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There are many of us that are born-again believers here. There are many of those who have desire, perhaps, to be born-again believer one day. Do we realize and are we ready to die to these things that are earthly? As Apostle Paul is telling us, are we ready to set our affections, set our focus on those things that are above, from above? The things that will have spiritual benefits for each and every one of us? And do we spend our time to strive for those things, or do we catch ourselves getting involved in the things that we might believe that we have power to influence, maybe those around us, or try to go this way or that way, or if we have someone we know that maybe doesn't agree with us to that level as we believe. I'm talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about physical things. I'm sorry, about the things that we try to get involved in this world. The division that will create in our lives, dear ones. That I will not be able to look the same way at my brother and sister if I know she's standing for this side or that side. If it's contrary that to what I maybe put my focus on. And I believe, dear ones, that we can learn from Elijah. He was He was a prophet at that time. He was a prophet who brought Ahab the bad news. The bad news that the Lord decided that he will not give rain or dew to fall for years to come. And he was instructed to go and hide. He said, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." He was instructed because, doesn't say directly here, but if you read chapter 18, where Elijah was actually hiding, and when he was about to come before Ahab again and tell him that this is what's going to happen, he was Obadiah, I believe, was a governor in Ahab's house, and he was afraid that Ahab was gonna kill him because he knows actually where he is, where Elijah is. So he was hiding, and he was wanted by the king Ahab and Jezebel. That we can only imagine how unhappy they were, and they were blaming Elijah for all the things that their country or their land was going through. In this case, a famine that was created by the lack of moisture or rain, and that crop was not delivering. Even those things that we can see the brook that was actually source for Elijah's thirst, quenching his thirst, dried up eventually because there was a years of no rain. And when we think of Ahab, when we think of his father Omri, when he think of kings of Israel, northern kingdom, none of them were really according to God's will. They all did evil in the sight of God, and it's written about them. This doesn't mean that they were not prosperous on a physical level. This doesn't mean that they were not successful as earthly kings, that they were not successful at building the kingdoms, building prosperity and so forth. But they were so far. Maybe that was the reason. Maybe because they were prosperous, maybe that was the reason they trusted themselves in themselves, and they didn't trust God and didn't want to follow him when he said, "Thou shalt not have gods before me. I am the Lord, the only God." And this is where they sinned. And this is why the Lord brought punishment to the land. But we see Elijah delivering the news, bad news to Ahab, but trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord when the Lord said, "Go and hide, be close to this this creek, and I will command." I will command the ravens to bring you food. And the ravens brought food to him every morning, every evening, to sustain him. Let's imagine this faith that Elijah had in his Lord. He was on a wanted list. He was chasing after. His life was in danger. And the Lord told him to go and hide, and I will feed you. I will make sure you have everything you need. And even when the creek went dried up, he said,
it says in verse 8 here, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The kingdom of Zidon was where Jezebel was coming from. She was the son. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshipped him. So this is, so the Lord is guiding Elijah, to the land, to the middle of the land where the pursuit of serving to Baalim came from, through Jezebel. But we see that he didn't question the Lord's directions. He went. He didn't know the widow. Widow didn't know him. But the Lord told him, he said, Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. He came to the woman, he asked her for a little bit of drink. But before she had a chance to do that, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. The widow woman who was by herself and had her son along with her. Who had so little food, so little flour or meal, that she was about to make another little morsel of bread for her son and for herself, and just wait to die. That was all they had left. And here comes the old man. Here comes the prophet. Who's asking, please give me water, but please give me some bread too before you give me water. We can only imagine what went through the widow's head, her mind. We can only think maybe her disappointment. I don't want to say she was disappointed because it doesn't say about her that, but just maybe her really, like, in her life, like, she's at the bottom of it. She's at the bottom of it, and here comes the man who's asking for a bread that she was about to prepare for herself and for her son and wait for the death to come. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This was her explanation to the man who was asking for a cake, for a bread cake. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. The amount of faith we can see here, dear ones, the amount of reliance on God. This is what man of God is asking of me. And yes, I don't have any more. I don't have any more for tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to live tomorrow. But I will do as he says.
And then Elijah gave her a promise.
But thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the date that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. This is the promise that he gave her. A reward for her faith that she had and willingness to do what he asked of her. Willingness to do what she was to do, what God asked her to do. To take care of this man that is a prophet of the Lord. And she received the promise. Dear ones, through the whole scripture, we have many examples like this where God never left his own. I believe in Psalms, Psalmist says that he never saw a righteous man to be hungry or to beg for food. Do we have that faith? Do we have that trust that really, even if I choose not to be involved in a creating maybe a better times for myself on a physical level, on a fleshly level, that this is not why we are on this earth, as we read in Colossians, that we are thinking, that we are focusing, that we are setting up our affections on the things that the Lord wants us to set affections on, and those are the things that are of the spiritual nature. And that we trust him with our whole hearts, that actually when we do that, when we strive for his kingdom, when we work for his kingdom, when we do our last we have to those that are in need, that we will never lack. We will not have everything we want, per se, but we will have everything we need because the Lord is here to take care of us. And dear ones, as the last verse over here of this reading we have, and the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. This is what happens when we are obedient. This is what happens when we commit ourselves and when we trust our Lord with all our hearts, with everything we have. That we are not considering not helping someone because what am I going to have left? If my brother or my sister, or it doesn't matter who, dear ones, is in a need, we're here on this earth to be there. We need to trust, dear ones, that even if we give last of what we have, we know Jesus Christ when he was in the temple, when he saw all these people putting money in alms, he gave the credit to the woman who put her last two mites. Not because of amount she contributed, but because she gave everything she had. She was trusting. She was trusting that there was someone who needs it more than her. She did have that faith that the Lord is not going to abandon her. And we have that promise, dear ones, from our Lord. No matter how bad things look around us, no matter how much evil is around us and progressing for worse and worse, we can testify at all that we can see it. The Lord is here to take care of us. But we need to set our affections on the things that are from above. Things that will benefit our spiritual man,
the things that will serve my fellow brother, my fellow sister, that will serve my Lord, and that will ultimately bring glory to His name. May we, dear ones, through this passage that we read, be encouraged that even if we don't know how tomorrow is looking like, or maybe if it's looking very bad, not to get involved in the things that we have no business involving in. Let's strive to walk with the Lord. Let's strive to be to His honor and glory. Let's try to do what we are meant to be here on earth, and that's to build His kingdom and for His glory. May the Lord bless all these words upon our hearts. Amen.
It's amazing when we think of the conditions of the day in which Elijah lived, the circumstances around him, and how God was able to use him to proclaim His glory. Speaking of King Ahab, it says that in verse 31 of chapter 16, it's written that it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him, Ahab, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. Jeroboam was the first king of Israel, and he walked not in the path of the Lord. He did not do those things that were right in the sight of God. He set up calves, golden calves, and said, "These are the gods which brought you out of Egypt." And for Ahab, it was a light thing. It was a light thing for him to walk in that way, to be disobedient, to be a servant of Baal. It was a light thing, a very small matter for him. And isn't that how the devil works in each and every one of our hearts? The first time that we stray from God, the first time we disobey God, it hurts. It's uncertain. It hurts. It doesn't feel right. We are pricked. God is telling us not to walk in that way. And yet as we continue deeper and deeper into sin, as the years roll by, living in sin becomes easier and easier. It becomes a light thing for us because we've hardened our hearts. So Ahab here is a wicked king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And this is the king that Elijah comes to. Elijah comes to him and tells him that there's going to be no rain for the space of 3 years, according to the word of the Lord. He was bold. He was bold. He had a faith and a trust in the Lord, that the Lord would provide for him. And the Lord did provide abundantly. We read in the next chapter, chapter 18 of 1 Kings, how they were servants of Baal gathered together in the top of Mount Carmel with Elijah, the servant of God. And Elijah said, let's determine who the true God is. He told the servants of Baal, pray to your God that he would send fire down from heaven. We know that the servants of Baal prayed, they cut themselves, they cried, and nothing happened. Elijah prayed and asked God to show that he was the one and only true living God, and fire came down from heaven in the sight of all those servants of Baal. And God worked through Elijah because he saw he was a righteous man. He saw that he was a man that had a desire to serve him. In James chapter 5, it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. An effectual, a fervent prayer, desire, a prayer with desire of a righteous man availeth much. It means much. It says Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a man, just as we are men and women in this flesh. He was just a man, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Just through a prayer of a righteous man, God listened. God listened and did not send rain for 3.5 years. And then when the prophets of Baal saw the work of God, the fire coming down from heaven, consuming the altar, just simply through a prayer, at that time, Elijah said, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." God never forsakes his own. God sees our desires. He sees the fear of the Lord in us, if it's there, and he will provide for us. Moses himself said he was a man of unclean lips. He did not think he was the right one to go and to speak to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. And yet God had a plan for Moses. He said, "I have chosen you This is not a mistake. He said, I have chosen you, Moses, because he saw that there was no pride in him. He chose Elijah for a reason, because he saw there was no pride. Elijah did not pray that this event would happen, that it would not rain for 3.5 years. He did not pray that because of his own, to receive his own glory. His goal was only to bring honor and glory unto God, and that's why the prayer was heeded. God listened to his prayer, because it was righteous, not for his own upliftment, but that God would be uplifted. So God will never forsake us. In our times of troubles, in our times of doubts and fears, let's remember these stories and think, what is God looking for us to do? Is he maybe looking for us to do some great thing? Let's not forsake that. Let's not walk away from that. Let's trust that the Lord will give us words to speak, that the Lord will give us strength in those times when we need it most. Let's trust in him and not lean on our own understanding. May God bless his word in our hearts this morning. Amen.